welcome everyone. I want to call this Monroe City Council meeting for December 4th, 2012 to order and ask if Dee Dee would take roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Kennebec.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Present.
Thank you, and please join me now for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we move into comments from citizens, I want to add something very quickly for council's information. The audience as well. I apologize for not getting it onto the agenda today with vacations last week and jury duty this week. I was unable to connect with Edie to be sure that this item was added. Tonight you might notice that there's a young gentleman sitting next to Mr. Feilberg. This person is Brendan Haram, and he comes to us from the Monroe High School. And as a result of a meeting that I had with him and with Councilmember Camp, I decided to ask Mr. Haram if he would serve as our City of Monroe student representative. And he has signed the letter of intent, and so now it's in blood, so to speak. But I just wanted to introduce him to council, but I also wanted to ask Councilmember Camp to say a few words as well.
Thank you. We're honored that you decided to accept. It was a really great interview, and your application, you mentioned the key points that you're interested in. City identity, opportunities for newly graduated high school students, and youth awareness being the key points we thought as a student representative you could add. And I agree. I think it'll be a great plus to our any deliberations we have up here. I hope that we can learn a lot from your perspective, and I hope you can learn from us about how the city government works and don't get too frightened by seeing the reality of it. Thanks again, I appreciate it.
Brandon, you want to say anything on your behalf? And
hello, everybody. Ran for this position basically with the intent of trying to get all the students in Monroe's opinions heard. I ended up being interviewed for this position about a couple weeks ago, and then found out last week that I would be appointed to this position. I'm really excited to do it. I'm currently a senior at the high school, and I feel I'm pretty confident that I know what I'm doing. I can keep up with these discussions, and I'm ready to go. So hopefully it's good.
Thanks, Brandon. So a little more information in front of you with regards to Brandon, who he is. Councilmember Camp, would you be kind enough to provide us with a motion, if you would, to accept
I'll be honored. I'd like to move that we accept the mayor's appointment of Brandon Haram to the position of student representative for the 2012-2013 school year.
Second.
Thank you very much. Motion has been made by Councilmember Camp and seconded by Councilmember Hanford. Any other comments from Council? Councilmember Kennebec.
I just wanted to thank Councilmember Camp for taking the lead on this and great suggestion, and I welcome Brandon.
Very good. Thank you. All right. With that said, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Well, Brandon, before you should have received a copy. You didn't know that you were going to be put to work right away. I think Dee Dee handed you a copy of the AWC Center for Quality Communities. This is a scholarship opportunity. And so I would like to ask you to read over the letter, and you and I can meet this week and discuss potential ways to get the word out for the opportunity that exists here. He's here and he thought we already got him recorded. Okay, now it's the time set aside for comments from citizens. This is the opportunity for citizens to speak to city council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We ask that you please limit your time to 5 minutes, and also we appreciate your name and address for the record. I have a few individuals signed up this evening, and the first of which is, I believe, Mr. James Duval.
Well, I know what I'm going to talk about wasn't supposed to be on the agenda tonight, but it was found out that the moratorium ends at the end of the week. So it is pushed on to it, and it's Medical Marijuana Collective Gardens. I don't know where the city's at this point. I know we've had over a year to discuss this and come up with some kind of policy, which keeps getting pushed off. I think it's time that the city stops pushing this off, sweeping it under the carpet, and actually allows it. It's time we come up with some standards and just allow it. This is coming. The state's already agreed to legalize marijuana, which is actually a different subject, with 502, which does go into effect this coming up week. We do know there's quite a few places that are already getting ready to start selling it. I think it's time the city actually has at least medical collectives to start with and give us some kind of groundwork to work with when the legal marijuana does come next year. A lot of what I have to say about it, other than, I mean, zoning-wise, you've got a lot of areas there that could be very easily used as far as commercial zoned. If you do a standard, what the state has for a 1,000-foot setback from any schools or child rearing facilities, it'll limit the amount of collective gardens, along with also a limitation on their setbacks from each other. It would actually narrow the city down to less than probably 5 to 10 of them. And it could be even smaller than that, depending on schools, daycares, and other facilities that are around them. I don't see why there's a problem with having these. This is something that's been pushed around for well over a year. I know I was speaking last year to you guys about it, and nothing's been done since. I appreciate your time, and I hope you guys can make... Yes, sir.
If you would, may we have your name and address for this?
James Duval, Lake Stevens, Washington. You guys have a good night.
Thank you. Aaron Snapko. My name is Aaron Angus Snapko, and I live at 421 South Lewis Street here in Monroe. I'm here again tonight to support the school district in the matter of the mitigation fees. The school district has said quite clearly that they need the money to purchase portables, and that if they don't have the funds available, that the money to buy the portables will have to come out of their general fund, and that really seems like a very bad idea, since they will also at the same time be juggling the long-term plan to build more schools. The developers will be paying like 900 some, I think, is the figure, less for a single family home, and that really adds up. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
That's right.
Why don't we have a microphone?
Yeah, you're just talking about that.
Yeah, of course, because the developer is still on from last week.
I don't think there's one here.
Jim Scott.
Good evening. My name is Jim Scott, and I live at 20227 80th Avenue Southeast, Snohomish. And as Vice President of the School Board, I am here tonight to reiterate the Monroe School District's opposition to the proposed changes to the school impact mitigation fee structure. In fact, it is our strong opinion that increasing the impact mitigation fee discount to 50% will reduce the attractiveness of Monroe for developers and more importantly, for those who would buy the new homes, by negatively impacting Monroe Public Schools' ability to effectively deal with the growth you want to bring to this community. That inability to respond to growing student population will reduce the quality of education provided throughout the district and will reflect poorly on Monroe as a community where people want to live and raise their families. Early on in this process, you received a letter from School Board President Tom McIntyre asking for any fact-based evidence that the positive benefits you hope will happen would actually happen as a result of the proposed changes. To date, in all the meetings I've attended and all the information I have read or seen on the internet, all the city has provided in response are the personal opinions of few of your own staff and some anecdotal information from a couple of local developers who would directly benefit from this proposal. Those few individuals were the only voices I've yet to hear in favor of the proposed changes. On the flip side, the school district has provided you with factual information on the damage that was done to our schools and our broader community during previous growth cycles due to directly to the inadequate growth-related funding for expanding existing facilities to house increased student population. You have heard evidence that the impact mitigation funding formulas embedded in Snohomish County comp plan and required to be used in the Monroe Public Schools capital facility plan, in which are then used by the city to set impact mitigation fees, significantly understate the actual cost of providing expanded school facilities that are needed to accommodate growth. You've heard factual evidence about the limitations to all school districts' taxing authority that mean the one and only time new development contributes any money for building additional classrooms to accommodate the growth in student population it brings is through impact mitigation fees collected by or for school districts by the city or county having local planning jurisdiction. You've heard testimony that in the absence of sufficient funding provided by impact mitigation fees, the burden for expanded facilities needed as a result of new development falls squarely on the backs of existing taxpayers. You've heard testimony that it was the damage done in previous growth spurts to Monroe schools and the greater community by these same issues that provided the impetus your predecessors needed a decade ago to set the discount rate for MPS impact mitigation fees at only 25% rather than the 50% discount prevalent in most of Snohomish County. They did so specifically to provide the Monroe School District with greater ability to handle future growth-related facility needs. You have heard testimony that Snohomish County is the only area of the state where school mitigation fees are discounted at all. More importantly, you have heard from many members of this community who vehemently oppose the change in discount rates. These people feel so strongly about the negative impacts on our schools your proposal will have that a grassroots organization made up of groups of people who would normally be on opposite sides of the fence came together to oppose the proposed changes. Most in the community would have believed such an agreement to be impossible, but opposition to this proposal has made it a reality. You have also heard from a variety of community members anecdotal information from others in the development community who have seen the national studies and believe what you have proposed will discourage potential new development rather than encouraging it as you want it to. I also want to address your stated desire to move the discount and rate setting entirely out of the comp plan process and to be handled by simple ordinance instead. This has far more impact than a simple housekeeping matter as it has been described by city staff. Currently, both the discount and the rates are set biannually in response to the school district's capital facilities plan with the ability to review and make changes annually when and if needed. This provides the district with sufficient planning time to adapt to any potential changes to its projected revenue stream. By handling these matters by ordinance, the rate, the discount, or both could be changed by you or those who follow you on the council as often as every meeting. leaving the school district no time to adapt to these changes. I understand that that is not currently the intended plan, but that possibility does in fact exist, and it could be implemented at any time. Impact mitigation fees were made a part of the comp plan process under the Growth Management Act, specifically to avoid that situation. Remember, these are pass-through fees you are collecting for the school district, and they have absolutely no effect on your own planning processes or your budget. The potential lack of adequate time to plan and adapt to any change, any such changes, would only further hamper the ability of the schools to handle the many issues growth brings and would negatively impact overall quality of our local schools. I urge you to place a higher value on the data-backed information provided you by the school district and by members of this community who have testified in public hearings over the anecdotal information of a couple of small developers who will directly benefit and the obviously biased opinions of just a few city staff members. Please leave the discount rate and the process as it is. Doing so will provide a much clearer path to your stated goal of attracting new development and better protect our children from the many negative impacts overcrowded schools bring to a community. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie Woods, 17621 158th Place, Southeast Monroe. And I'm speaking on behalf of the school board. I'm a school board member. I'm a parent of two students in the Monroe School District, and I live in the city. So I'm here, and I want to say hi again. I'm here to reiterate my comments that I made at a previous meeting to keep the mitigation fees the same. The kids in the city need good schools, and they need to be prepared for their future. That means adequate classroom space, as well as books and curriculum. Please keep the current mitigation school mitigation fees the same. See, he just took some of my time.
Thanks.
Evan Westcott.
Good evening. I'm Evan Westcott. I live in Bellevue, Washington. I'm a partner with the Sammy Investments. We own a site on Blueberry Lane. It's a 10.2-acre site. We're looking to develop about 130 apartment units on the site. It's kind of by Pete's Party Pit. I think it's been kind of an eyesore for the city for a while. We recently acquired it about earlier this year. So we want to move forward on a project with 130 units there to develop new apartment units. We build and own half a dozen properties right now, mostly in downtown Seattle or the east side. We like to long-term hold. We build a high-end product and, you know, try to keep our tenant base of a quality people that care about where they live. One of the challenges we're facing right now is the impact fees in general, the school impact fees as a piece of the whole impact fees. We're looking at a project, again, 130 units. It's about a $12 million construction development project, aside from the land, which we already own and clear. The impact fees are over $20,000 a unit, which equates to $2.5 million when you add the school fees, the park fees, the water district fees. And it really it prevents the project from moving forward for us. I mean, we can't afford to spend approximately 25% of the hard costs of developing a site in just fees. So we do bring, I mean, if we could develop, we bring other pieces to the table, I think. I mean, we spend $10 million in construction revenues. That creates $1 million in sales tax revenue. I know that the city doesn't see all of that. The state sees a chunk of it. We would be going from a nominal property tax that we pay right now to a hefty property tax on a parcel, you know, it'd be a large development. And, you know, the tenant base, the increased tenant base to the city would be within walking distance of most of the local stores or shops to, therefore spend more money in the city. So we'd have an increased fee base there. I guess one thing I would request of the city council is that you guys allocate some city staff or some time to investigate what the pros would be of more development via lower impact fees, because the one hurdle that's holding us back at this point in time is the impact fees. We just, we can't do it with over $20,000 just in a door. And those, so if you guys could find a way that maybe there's a common ground where a little lower fees, a little more tax revenue base after the fact of the new development, that's kind of, I guess I'll leave you guys with that. All right, I appreciate your time.
Sure, thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
That's all that I have this evening who signed up prior to speaking, but as always, I'd like to open up the podium to members of the audience. Invite you to address council on any issue that you feel or you would like. And if you'd like to at this time, I'll invite you to the podium. Please provide your name and address for the record and limit your time to 5 minutes. Okay. Seeing none, then we will move on to the next item in the agenda, and that is our consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Williams and seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passed. New business item. I know that City Administrator Brown has sent some information out to you earlier in Friday, or was it Monday?
Monday.
Monday, correct. The item here is on the amendment of attorney services fees. City Administrator Brown.
Thank you, and I apologize for bringing this to your attention such a late hour as I was out of town. But at any rate, I did forward information to council. We've received a letter from Ogden Murphy and Wallace asking for a wage or a rate adjustment for the 2013 year. And if council recalls, for the 2012 year, Ogden opted to keep their rate the same for us versus seeking an increase, which they had mentioned when we first entered into the contract with them. They realized that the city's financial position was in a difficult location, and so they opted to go ahead and hold their rate for us. But at this point, they're looking to asking council and the city to increase that rate. Back in 2010, council asked staff to look into other rates that the surrounding communities were paying for attorney services, and we did that. That was in December of 2010, and the rates that were reviewed were for the 2011 period. And so, anyway, we included that cover sheet for council so that they could refresh your memories, and just for the audience, Duval was at $205 an hour, and all the way to Gold Bar at $150 an hour to $215. So at any rate, it varied, and I, in my opinion, what Ogden Murphy and Wallace is asking is right in there with what other cities are paying. So at any rate, I wanted to bring it to your attention this evening so the council had the opportunity to talk with Zach or ask any questions of Zach, should you have any. And this will be coming back next week as a final action item unless council would opposed to doing something different.
Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. It looks like the recommended action is actually to potentially move forward. You said next week, so I was a little confused.
That was last year's cover sheet.
That was last year's cover sheet. It looks like a cover sheet. That was last year's cover sheet.
Am I looking at the wrong thing?
Yep. You opened it up, and it looks just like all the other cover sheets.
Exactly. We included last.
The date's even December.
Exactly. So at any rate, again, tonight is just for discussion unless council wants to move forward. The other piece of this is the existing contract we have has some old verbiage in there. If council wants to move forward, I would propose a totally new contract that has updated verbiage and that type of thing. So
I'm all in favor. So I would like to see that come back. You don't need any action, but that would be... I'd like to see the, per your recommendation, a new contract at the rate suggested. I think we get outstanding legal service, and in particular from Attorney Lowe, so I'd like to see that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Williams?
Thank you, Mayor. Is this a two-year deal or a five-year deal?
I believe it's until such time that the city wants to break it or the
It was kind of a joke.
Is
it possible to do this for more than 1 year at these rates if we're doing a rate increase?
Council typically, our firm has a rate proposal seeking an adjustment to match our firm's increasing costs on an annual basis. I would be amenable to a multi-year contract if there was some type of escalator in it or a defined increase approach. The rate for you tonight in my firm's proposal is actually the rate that was proposed last year and is the rate that is being used currently by my other similarly situated municipal client. So as I explained to the city administrator, my proposed increase for the following year, 2014, will be playing a little bit of catch-up to reflect the recent history. But bringing it full circle, I would be amenable to a multi-year contract if that's the council's preference. Hope I'm not saying anything surprising. I enjoy working with and for Monroe, and hope that relationship continues for the foreseeable future, so I certainly would not mind a multi-year agreement.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Just concur with Councilmember Gary and Sarah. Working with Attorney Lawrence, I would like to agree with that. I'd be ready to pursue renewing that tonight or next week, whatever's more convenient.
I think next week would be preferable, and that way we can bring the contract. You've seen the
new language.
We'll have that as part of it.
Thank you.
Councilor Pettibat.
Thank you. Gene, you sent out an email in the last couple days on this issue, and so I just want to make sure I understand. The rate you're proposing for 2013 is what you currently charge most of the other cities in 2012?
I personally represent two other municipalities. The one that uses a non-bifurcated rate structure is currently being billed at the rate that I'm proposing for next year. Okay. And for that client, I'm recommending or offering no increase next year, and then my intent going forward will be to move forward uniformly. I don't think it's appropriate to have a significant gap between clients that are similarly situated.
Okay.
For the council's information, the other client that I represent uses a bifurcated rate structure where services are differentiated between retainer work on one hand and specialty services on the other. And that is a one option that I expressed to city administrator when I first came on Monroe. If that's Monroe's preference, I'm happy to use that approach as well. And the specialty services would build at a higher rate. The retainer services would build at a lower rate. And I won't offer an opinion as to whether it's more or less economically advantageous to the city. It really depends on the percentage volume of work that would be falling within the definition of specialty work. Site-specific land use issues, real estate transactions, easements, non-standard contracts, and then the big one, of course, is litigation. Most other work would be billed at the lower rate under that model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at this point, I would know which would be better. I don't know what the breakdown of the specialty versus the retainer.
When we first entered into this contract, staff and I did a pretty thorough review and opted to recommend going under our existing structure. We have not had a chance to review what our service has been for the past year and how that was built out, but we could certainly do that. And we'll go ahead and do that and have a peek at it before next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, I think we have some direction for next week, and we'll go ahead and provide that. Next week is a study session, but if council wants to take action on that, we can. But we'll have the information for you at that time as requested and discussed this evening. All right, any other questions? Very good then. Okay, moving on to final action. The first item here this evening is our ordinance amending the 2012 budget as first reading. And Diane.
When the budget is first adopted, it's merely an estimate of what we think is going to happen during the year. And so, of course, then reality comes along and things change and aren't always exactly as proposed. So since the budget is a legal binding document that the city must comply with, there are always amendments that come towards the end of the year to adjust the budget to bring us into compliance. And this year's year-end amendment has 11 items, and I'll leave it up to council. I can go through each one of them, or if you have specific questions, however you want to go through it. Makes no difference to me.
I have a light on, so we'll start there. And that's Councilmember Geary.
I'm going to move to accept the reading so then we can have the discussion of that if we want. So I'm going to move to accept this first reading ordinance amending the budget for fiscal year 2012 to account for new revenues and expenditures. Second.
All right, motion has been made by Councilmember Geary and seconded by Councilmember Gamp. Camp. I had gone to surgery 10 years ago. to accept this first reading ordinance amending the budget for fiscal year 2012 to account for new revenues. All right. Any questions or anything further, Councilmember Geary? Or
I know that's it. Thank you.
Councilmember Ketterbeck.
Thank you. Diane, I had a question about the water fund, the $900,000.
Mm-hmm.
So was that whole $900,000 not budgeted
yeah.
as an expense, but we budgeted the revenue to come in? I mean, we buy water from Everett. Now, obviously, we have to pay them.
Right.
So...
Yeah. It was a particular line item, expense line item, that where we purchased the water from Everett. It has a zero in it right now.
Okay.
And the total year's purchases are, they're going to be under 900,000, but I put 900,000
okay.
just so we wouldn't go over. I know we won't go over 900,000. It'll probably
okay.
be like 875.
Okay.
And there was a miscommunication. Jacob does that budget, but he had verbally asked me to put that one line item in. And
okay.
since I didn't write it down, I didn't do it. And
okay. But that doesn't have any, I know the water fund is separate, but I see a undesignated fund balance of 382 at
mm-hmm.
the end of the year.
Right.
So there was, when we first did that budget and we didn't put in the 900,000 as an expense, did we
have
at any point think, well, we had a larger, I get that, but did we at any point think something was off, or did we have that money designated next year for anything? I mean, is that disrupting?
It was a large fund balance in that particular fund just because of the bonds that had been issued in the prior year, so that's why it didn't flag as a red flag
okay.
right away.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Diane? Okay. With that, we will take a vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, Paul. Good evening. Second item tonight, CPA 2013 deed, school mitigation fees.
Thank you, Mayor. We're tonight to consider some action on school impact fees. This has been, we've had discussion with both council and most recently the Planning Commission. And I'll give you a basic brief on this. It basically involves four steps, three of which we're considering tonight. The first is to amend the comp plan, capital facilities element, and this is about two things. It's about removing regulatory language, like setting the exact discount rate from the comp plan, which should focus on policy, not regulations. And it also, that comp plan amendment also includes adopting the 2012-2017 plans for both the Monroe and Snohomish school districts. The second step is applying that policy, however it's adopted, to the municipal code in Chapter 20, and that is what actually sets the methodology for calculating the rates, the impact fees, and it does set the discount rates. That's where that 25% versus 50% action comes into play on the second, the amendment of the Chapter 20. And the last step, which we'll take later this month, is adopting a new fees resolution for this, if it changes, and other potential changes to our ongoing fees. One thing, when this was prepared, we did recommend that your action include suspending the rules and doing a first and final reading tonight on both ordinances. But I know that now the second reading of the city budget has been moved to next week. And we can take action on this comp plan separate from other comp plan amendments for 2013 because it is part of the city budget. There has to be a tie with that, so it needs to be adopted with the city budget. So you may choose to do a first reading tonight and take a second reading next week. You have that option as opposed to taking first and final action tonight. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions. Mayor?
Thanks, and again, I appreciate the work. I appreciate the work that the staff has done and all the information that they've given us. And certainly appreciate all the feedback from the community as well. It's been really valuable. If anything to get out of this, I think we'll be having more frequent discussions, perhaps, with the school board. And I think that'd be a great thing, specifically as we deal with this and there's more growth and as you know numbers change and the school is here to. The numbers start to go back up there as well. I think kind of like we've done with Planning Commission, having more meetings there, I think more regularly, things would be great. And you know, that just falls under you. You're there, so I'm looking at you. If I'd see, so yeah, just looking through the recommended actions, and I do see, let me scroll back over there. There are three items underneath these. B is the one that changes the comp plan that you were talking about, and C is the one that would actually set the rate.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's what I'm looking at, two specific, different specific actions. And so if I am correct, I was trying to find all this. In 20.07.100 is actually where the new numbers, if we were to move with the 50% discount, are there as compared to what you see on the cover sheet, which has the old numbers there as well. So if we were to move forward with everything, but yet leave it at the same rate, you would simply change the numbers in that table, is that correct?
That's right. We would change as we need to reflect the 25 or 50% in the regulation.
I wanted to make sure it took me a little. There's a lot to read.
There is.
I was trying I was looking for the number, 25 versus 50, which actually isn't there, right? So in case anyone else had trouble finding that, that's if a change wanted to be made, that's where it would be. Great, I appreciate that. And I wanted to get clarity again on the first reading versus first and final. You said there's a tie to the budget, but I wasn't. We could certainly do it all tonight. Personally, I'd like to kind of do it and be done with it. But tell me a little bit again about why we would do a first reading and second reading other than that's usually the way we do it. What would the tie to the budget that you mentioned, that wasn't that
different? Right. Of course, as you know, normally comp plan amendments can only be considered for action as a group all at once, with the exception that this amendment, which is related to the city budget, can be considered with the budget
as
a separate complement. This is actually a 2013 amendment that we're doing in 2012. Okay. So there has to be that very distinct nexus between changing the comp plan and the capital facilities plan and the city budget. So they need to be done together. This can be done in advance of final approval of the city budget, but it cannot be adopted after the second reading of the city budget.
That's next week, and so that's what you're
right,
saying.
That's next week. So if you would prefer to take the first action tonight and wait for a second and final reading next week, you can certainly do that, since we have moved the larger budget item. Or you may choose to take first and final action tonight and be finished one way or the other.
Certainly my preference, but I'd like to hear other council members, so leave the comments there at this time. Thanks.
We do have a couple of lights. I just wanted to say, to with regards to the conversation related to fees and our certain fee table and so on and so forth, a number of folks have talked specifically about school mitigation fees and other mentioned fees in general. I did want to share that we have, our staff has been looking at our fees, fee structure for some time, and are preparing to bring very specific conversation related to fees overall to council the first part of the year. Jeff, I'm going to throw you on the spot here. Couple observations that you might have for council just related to the fee structure in general, which would include school mitigation fees, park fees, and so on and so forth, as it relates to the conversations and the discussions that you've been having and the research that you've been doing related to economic growth.
Specifically, are they too high, are they too low, where we're at in the spectrum?
I guess that's fair to say, and that's part of the reason why we'll be bringing them back to council in the first part of the year.
Sure. It's clear to me that every time I talk to a developer coming to Monroe, that there's two concerns that they have. The primary concern is fees, and that's not school fees. It's sewer hookup fees or water fees. It's the actual fees for processing permits. It's schools, parks, and transportation. Mike Farrell is looking at parks fee right now. We're working through that process. We understand that we have a very rich parks comprehensive plan, and inside of the parks comprehensive plan, there's projects that could very easily be removed because they're practically not feasible. The city is headed in a direction different than what, for instance, the landfill. There's $5 million+ programmed in the landfill, and the city's definitely heading in a different direction on the landfill. So there's a recalculation that can take place with the park fee schedule, and I think we will see a downward direction on park impact fees in the near-term future. School or transportation impact fees. Council has authorized the update to the transportation improvement plan, the TIP, for work will start next year. That's a process that's highly technical and takes a fair amount of time, and it will be what it is. In the end, the fee that comes out of that discussion will be determined by what council decides to program into it. If we want to rebuild every road in town, that generates a higher fee. If we're selective about it and pick some strategic transportation projects to approve, that fee will come down. Sewer and water fees. That's probably more complicated in calculating because we have bondholders that enter into that equation, and due to the bond covenants, we have to be very careful about how we go about looking at growth and how we assess the fees in order to retire the bond debt. So the school impact fees just happened to be the first one that we were able to take on. It probably accelerated faster because we wanted to pair it up with the budget so that we could make comprehensive plan changes at the same time we make coaching. So in the end, Monroe sits above the mean as far as per lot fees when a developer comes to town and wants to build a home. We heard tonight, $21,000 for multifamily. That's for one unit. Now, when you look at a multifamily unit, it's probably $100,000 construction cost. When you're looking at a single family home, the construction cost is much higher, so the percentage doesn't hit you as hard as in the overall capital cost of the home. But impact fees are a burden. We are in a situation right now in Snohomish County, and I think Puget Sound, where we have a nascent housing recovery beginning. We have very high occupancy rates in rental units. There's going to be a demand for single-family purchases once we get through this economic python that we've been in. Once mortgage applications are approved in a reasonable fashion again for first-time home buyers. So it's beginning. Lots are very hard. Developed lots that are platted are basically gone in Snohomish County. They're all under contract. They're in some phase of development. So the development community is out interested and they're out looking. So I think this is a very deliberate process we've been going through. I think it's a very important process. You guys get to make a hard decision tonight on which direction we're going to go as a city if we want to provide some relief to the development community through school mitigation fees, or do we want to maintain what we've been doing and look at it again down the road when we have more evidence as to what impact that really has in today's economy. So that's my spiel.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. As well, staff has identified some other fees, smaller, less visible, I would say, but still fees nonetheless that the city has as part of its fee structure, and we'll be making some recommendations there as well. Some will be recommended increase, some will be recommended decrease, but needless to say, fees in total will be brought back to council at the beginning of the year. Okay, Councilmember Clutterbuck.
Thank you. Paul, just to let you know what my feeling is to have a first reading tonight and then do a second reading the next week, just to follow our own rules and procedures, since there doesn't seem to be time of the assets are tied to budget, so that's my preference. Just to kind of take these separately, the first issue being taking it out of the comp plan. We heard from a couple people tonight, or especially Mr. Scott, about keeping it in the comp plan provides that reliability, the ability for a third party, because we are a pass-through on these funds, correct? I mean,
that's
we
correct.
Just pass through. They don't come to the city. I mean, they pass through to the school district. So why take it out of the comp plan? Why not leave it in the comp plan and give them that reliability, tie it to we look at it once a year? Why take it out? It isn't funds that are coming to the city. It's going to the school district. So I'm having a hard time understanding why we would need to take it out of the comp plan.
The comp plan has quite a bit of language, specific language related to those impact fees, how they're considered, calculated,
Sure. What
the discount rate is set in stone in the comp plan. The basic issue is that the comp plan has gone far beyond setting policy. We've done some other work in terms of North Kelsey and some other areas to remove that regulatory language, which does not belong in a comprehensive plan. It's the policy document that drives the municipal code that is regulations. Mr. Scott's correct in that the comp plan can be amended only once a year, usually as part of a cycle with other amendments, or in this case in concert with the city budget. The municipal code can be changed at any time, but in reality, due respect to Mr. Scott, it would take, I'll say, 4 to 6 months from initiation to final approval of a change of the municipal code. So it could potentially be done a couple of times a year. But it's not something that could be done very quickly or without the same kind of discussion and vetting that we've done for this process. So it really comes down more to keeping the appropriate language in the comp plan and giving the authority and the regulatory exaction that happens in the municipal code for these impact fees. And that's true for any kinds of fees or other regulations. Regulations just don't have a part in a comp plan that's pretty widely supported basis.
In this instance, the comp plan, I mean, we're dealing with a third party who's getting those fees. We aren't doing that for transportation or park. It's to us, correct?
Correct.
So that's where I see the difference and why I think having it in the comp plan at least is worthy of discussion, because we're impacting a third party. If the process is a little bit longer, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I understand what we said before. We've had those discussions about keeping the comp plan more policy-based, but there's nothing to say we can't have this in the comp plan. That's more of a general feeling that if council doesn't want this in there, it's not saying we can't have it in there. There's nothing that says the comp plan can't contain this, correct?
I don't know if I can answer that. I did look into this some time ago, but I don't recall the exact language in state law about the contents of comp plan, but it was very much focused toward policy, and I've checked with other colleagues in Washington. Washington's a little different than most other places, but they all agreed that the comp plan is really policy, but not regulations. It's really standard practice, or in some cases, best practice.
City Attorney Lala might have some insight too as to the question at hand.
I agree completely with Mr. Patelka that the comp plan is generally a policy blueprint for the city. I'm not aware of any legal prohibition on having a comp plan contain a fee schedule that has been adopted by reference from another agency, in this case the school district. In my experience, it is rarer for that to happen. It's more common for the impact fee itself to be calculated and imposed in a dollar figure at the local ordinance level, and then have the formula that the fee is distilled from be tailored to the capital facility inventory and other components of the comprehensive plan. But there's nothing that I'm aware of that would prohibit that approach.
Okay. That's my question right now on that topic. So I'm curious to hear what other council members feel, think.
Council Member Gamble.
All right. Caught me on guard there. I think someone was before me.
I don't see the lights come on. Okay. I kind of guess so.
I'm really interested in looking at this topic, just me personally, and looking at the aggregate. When we started out this process, we look at the concept was very much, hey, let's attract, we'll reduce and then we'll end up with more. And the more that I dig in, and the more research that I do, and the more the developers that I talk to that are personal, friends or acquaintances. I don't see us that far off, from our neighbors, right next to us in the Snohomish area. And albeit I look at our fee structure and say, yes, we need to look at, look at this, and there is a huge impact to developers, and I'm all for, spreading growth. I think that we would be a more responsible look, and one of the things that's come out of this, which I very much appreciate, this whole process, is us looking at the fee structure. And I am more inclined, to... basically what I'm saying is I am not inclined to vote towards whether we vote this week or we vote next week of, further discounting the school, mitigation fees. I would really like to look at the fees in the aggregate and have a serious discussion on that, and looking at how we can help development in the aggregate across the fee structure, as opposed to just looking at one specific fee. So that's...
I appreciate what you just said there, and have absolutely no opposition to that statement. However, in order to do that in aggregate, we would have to pull that from the comprehensive plan, at least this portion, just for Councilmember Cuddeback's information.
Okay.
So if we were to have that discussion in aggregate in February, this portion would have to be pulled from the comprehensive plan in order to have the discussion.
And so one of my questions, I think, that basically was answered, that I was going to ask in regards to that, and City Attorney, well, you basically, you're saying is that the general practice is it's not in the comp plan.
That's been my personal observations more often than not, that impact fees themselves are imposed at the local level through an ordinance in the city's code rather than the comprehensive plan itself. Again, I'm not alerting prohibition on the contrary approach.
All right.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your work on this, Paul. I know you've probably spent hours doing this. I have two things. I'm definitely, I want to concur with what Councilmember Gamble said. I like to look at everything as a whole, and hearing the numbers from the property owner of the Old Pete's Party Pit area there must be a way we can work with that scenario and scenarios like that, and try to make it so it's not so costly for the developer. At the same time, though, I am definitely voting, if this goes to motion, I'll be voting against raising the fees, or lowering the fees for the school district, without looking at everything as a whole. The last thing I was going to ask was, it's not clear to me why we're getting a motion to suspend the rules in a way of the second reading when it doesn't appear that this is an emergency, right?
No, not since the second reading of the budget. The city budget was moved to next week. I think it was originally scheduled for tonight, which was drop-dead date for this on the comp plan.
Good. But, yeah, because I was surprised because I thought we all agreed we don't want to do that unless...
We certainly have that option to split it.
Thank you.
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's... To me, we don't need to waive the second reading. That no matter what we do tonight, I think we can go forward with two, first and a second. What happens, so let's take the first piece, the removing it from the comp plan. I'm all in favor of that because we've been doing that house cleaning, mm-hmm. and I think that we, as a city, had a bunch of stuff in our comp plan that shouldn't have been there, and we've been proactively going and taking that stuff out, and I think this kind of follows into that same line of reasoning. So I'm all in favor of that. My question is, though, if we do that tonight, then what becomes of the current the rate structure, if that's the only thing we acted on tonight, is removing it from the comp plan? And I guess one of my concerns is I also agree that we need to look at all the fees. And, I'm all in favor of lowering school mitigation fees, but not only, if that's the only thing we're doing, I'm not in favor of that at all. I'm in favor of saying if we believe it's too high, which I believe $25,000 to pull permits way too high, there's a lot of things in there that we can be, taking layers of the onion off. And so can you just kind of, from a procedural standpoint, tell me what happens if we pull it out of the comp plan tonight, then where are we at and what's our next step?
Well, I think if my first reaction is that if we pull it from the comp plan, that doesn't initiate any immediate change to how we assess fees. No, because we have an adopted fee resolution subject to change. The impact fee will not change until you take action on the on step, what is it, motion B for the chapter 20. That can be done really at any time. You could, in that sense, split this action on the comp plan from action on the municipal code until you've got enough information to make that decision.
So just to clarify then, it would be possible then to adopt ordinance 022-2012, which pulls it out of the comp plan, and then wait until we look at all the fee structures to do the second part of this, and we would still be okay?
I believe so.
Who would you yield for?
Mr. Feilberg.
Oh, sorry.
It's bouncing in this seat. I think just a different one is actually adopting the ordinance but changing the table of 20.07100, which picks the numbers at 25% discount rather than 50% discount, and then sometime in the future, as you look at everything, if you want to, nothing says you can't make it, a 37.5% discount if that's what the city decides to do. As you look at all the fees sometime during next year, you can come back and leave it the way it is or change it to a different number of that table.
Okay. I would totally be okay
with
that. So thank you.
It's much better. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Thank you. And that is what I was going to suggest, that we can move forward with the third one as well. And I think I said at the beginning, table 20-07-100. Changing those numbers back to the numbers that are on the cover sheet listed under the 25% discount would leave them the same as they are today, but move forward with the process that we're going through so that we look at all the fees, which I absolutely agree with. I do have one, and as we do that, just one thing for council. If you look at the cover sheet, I do think it is curious that even at the 50% discount for the two-bedroom apartments, that's still an increase over what it is today. And given what we've heard about the expense of a per unit apartment, I think maybe that's something we might consider when we have this future discussion of perhaps leaving that one, or maybe 50% for that one, because it's still an increase. It's actually still more money. But leaving the single family houses, because that's what most of our discussion has been about, is the single family houses. So. If we're going to have a future discussion about it, I'd certainly love to have that conversation with everyone. If you look, the $3,172 is more. It's almost $100 more than what it is today, even at 50% rate. So that would be definitely need to have the conversation in full. Let me scroll back down here for a second. If we're only going to do first reading, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion for first reading for letter B, since we don't need number A. A motion to accept as first reading ordinance 022-2012 regarding comprehensive plan amendment CPA 2013-D, amending the capital facilities element of the city of Monroe comp plan as proposed based on the findings and conclusions as shown in exit B.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Williams to accept this first reading ordinance 022-2012 regarding comprehensive plan amendment CPA 2013-D, amending the capital facilities element of the City of Monroe comprehensive plan as proposed based on the findings and conclusions as shown in the B. Councilmember
I saw before?
Yeah.
I just want to say, based on what was said previously, even if I'm absolutely in favor of doing this, as the process that Paul said, even if this is pulled out, this is would be still a 4 to 6 month process. Again, we need increased conversation with the school district, and quite frankly, I think that almost forces the issue, which is a good thing. So, in that aspect, I don't think that it's an issue to do it. The authority does belong with council to be able to change it. Whether or not we're going to, that authority does rest with us. And again, it's a best practice, and it is what we've been doing. So from that aspect, I do support that, but thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Pettit.
Thank you. I will be voting no on this motion. What I can see in other instances, we have taken things out of the comp plan. I don't believe it's wise in this instance. I do believe it should be in the comp plan. I think it gives more reliability to the school district. I think it embeds in the comp plan, gives it more process to look at. I would not be in favor of looking at the other fees. We can always come back to this next year and take it out of the comp plan if we look at the other fees and decide that we still want to look at school mitigation fees. Just because we don't take it out of the comp plan now doesn't mean we can't take it out next year as we come back around this again. I think we need to look at the other fees first before we look at school mitigation fees. Once you start to lower the standard for schools and less money, I think it has a downward spiral for a community. I think what attracts people to come out here and buy homes is affordability and good schools, and those two things are what attract home buyers to come out here. So I think looking at schools first is not something I want to do. I'm willing to look at the other fees. I do look at that 25%, but I think this is a first step of taking it out of the comp plan, and so I won't be voting for this. Thanks.
Councilmember Kemp, thank you.
Thank you.
Paul, I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this. So for the actual two-year term as well, if we remove, the only way we can look at all the fees in aggregate is if this is pulled out, correct? So we would be able to look at all fees. Or did I misunderstand that?
Are you asking me?
I'm absolutely somewhat.
There's nothing legally that prohibits you from conducting a comprehensive review of your entire fee structure, even without making any amendments. There's certainly nothing that stops you from doing that.
But without having, by having this in the comprehensive plan, we cannot change it.
But once a year.
Or did I misunderstand?
The general rule under the State Growth Management Act is that you can only amend the city's comprehensive plan once per year.
Okay.
The exception that Mr. Popielka referenced earlier is the one that staff has recommended that you use tonight for purposes of this amendment, which is that the state law does allow you to go amend your comp plan at a cycle if the amendment relates to the capital facilities element and you're making that amendment concurrently with an amendment to your city budget. But apart from that, that's correct. You can only amend your comprehensive plan once per year, and that's what the city's docket cycle is all about.
Okay. That's all I need. Thank you.
Okay, we do have a motion on the floor, and seeing no other lights, go ahead and call for the vote. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Please let the record show that Councilmember Cutaback and Hamford are opposed. Motion pass 5-2. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. I'm going to make a motion amend the action, but I'm going to make a motion to accept as first reading Ordinance 023-2012 regarding DCA 2012-09 amending MMC 20.07 as proposed based on findings and conclusions as shown in Exhibit B, changing 20.07.100 impact fee schedule to the previous numbers, the numbers that are represent what the numbers are today. I guess I can read all those specifically if I need to, unless council understands what I'm saying. Instead of the 1984, 2976, instead of the 896, 1344, instead of the 3170,
staying
at the 25% rate. Good enough. So that would be the motion to approve that, changing the numbers back to what they are today. We'll look for a second for that.
I'll second that. The motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing, seconded by Councilmember Williams to accept this first and final reading ordinance 02. Excuse me, first reading. I'm just reading. First reading ordinance 023 of 2012 regarding ZCA 2012-09 amending MMC 27 as proposed based on the findings and conclusions. Amending the discount to 25%.
Do I sell the form?
Yes.
Thank you. And again, the purpose here, being able to look at all the fees, I think we've heard across the board that that's something that we want to do, and this enables that to happen without changing it at this time. So, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
So, a quick comment. The math is a little surprising in what those fees actually are, and as they're assessed. The district has found that lately and into the future, single-family homes are generating less students per unit than it had previously, whereas multifamily apartments, so forth, are generating more students per unit than they had in the past. So as single-family fees are going down, but at the same time, the multifamily impact fees are going up. Was something that caught me by surprise.
And great for the discussion that we want to have. So, thank you.
Mr. Sachs.
Mr. Mayor, just from a practical standpoint, I think it would be informative for the council to poll the other directors that are in charge of transportation impact fees, park impact fees, sewer and water fees, to understand the time frames involved in changing and looking at those. The aggregate conversation, I so appreciate the aggregate conversation, but the practical aspects of assembling all of those and getting them all in line timely, I think you might be looking at 18 months out before we can have this conversation. So I think it would behoove you to ask that
question and get that information on the table so you understand that while aggregate is desired, in all practical purposes, this is going to have to take place one fee at a time as we go through the process. So just thought I'd add that conversation.
It's partly why school mitigation fees were brought to your plan, because it was something that could be discussed and amended as council saw fit with regards to policy. And it's also to Mr. Sack's point, we will have the discussion, but the realities of changes, some of these fees will be out several months to a year, a year and a half. So just for your information. Councilor Camp.
Thank you. They referenced Mr. Sack's statement. So does that mean that there will be no special requirements to look at any of the other fees? All the fees are now on a level table. We'll be able to affect each of them using the same process or not?
I don't think that's accurate.
Okay.
Our park has a capital facilities plan that goes through. It's a comprehensive plan element. The projects that are built into that are, in order to change that, it's going to require comprehensive plan discussion. Our capital improvement plan for transportation is an extensive process. Brad, is it? It's a comprehensive plan element also.
Okay.
Our sewer plans and our water plans are comprehensive plan elements. So each of these are processes, and they are going to take an extensive amount of time. And in my conversation with other staff members, the parks area is probably the next ripest area for us to have this conversation about. The transportation element is work. We will be going out to bid this year and working through that process. Again, sewer and water fees, again, in Brad's purview, the conversations are taking place, but it's a complicated process.
Thank you.
I have one thing to comment on that. The city attorney can correct me if I'm mistaken on this, but RCW does say that you cannot rely entirely on impact fees for your capital improvements, and that's where the discount rate comes from for the school fees. So if the council is interested, we could also apply discount rates to the other fees. In the meantime, while we're doing the studies to come up with what the real cost is, and then once you get those real cost numbers, you, at the end, you can say, you know, it's $10,000 a unit for transportation, but we're going to give it a 50% discount and make it $5,000 or, you know, whatever. So you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
City Attorney Law.
Yeah, Mr. Fowler is absolutely correct. The constraint under state law for impact fee calculation methodology is that you cannot use impact fees under the Growth Management Act to fund 100% of the infrastructure, but there's nothing that I'm aware of that imposes a floor above which you must stay. So if you wanted to reduce your other fees, you certainly could do that. There's very little preventing you from making that policy decision if that's your preference.
Councilor Williams.
Thank you. I'm only speaking for me, but whether we make all the fee changes at once, that's not what I care about as much as that we have the discussion and we put it on the schedule. This kind of hit as we're doing something and we're just looking at school fees, and that raised a lot of questions as to why that's the only fee we're looking at. And I personally didn't have an answer for why aren't the other fees being talked about currently. So I'm not expecting that we'll have one meeting and we'll set the perfect fee structure at that meeting. But I personally would like to see at least the schedule of, you know, give us a timeline of what we can do, when we can do it, and if we have to do this one fee at a time, that's okay with me too. I just want to know that there's a process and that it's not just going to get, you know, the school's going to take the entire hit of the discount and then we're going to leave it alone.
All right. We'll go ahead and vote on the motion then. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes. Thank you for your comments. Thanks for the input. Okay, we do have a need for an executive session at this time. We'll call on City Attorney Lell to provide the RCW explanation for that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm to RCW 4230-1101I, the council will convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing legal risk and potential litigation with legal counsel. The executive session will last approximately 20 minutes, after which the council may take action in open session.
Okay. With that said, we will go into executive session.
We have time.
Thank you, everybody. We are now back in regular session. Moving on to item 3, medical cannabis discussion. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I move to waive the rules that we normally have to put an item on the agenda or underneath the medical cannabis discussion, ordinance number 26-2012, and waive our normal rules for first and final readings.
Second.
Motions are made by Councilmember Gehring, seconded by Councilmember Camp to waive the City Council rules, waiving the need for first and final reading and adding to the agenda ordinance number 026-2012. Seeing no lights, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. With that then, we do have an ordinance number 026-2012. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to approve first and final reading of ordinance number 026-2012, the whole thing of which I'm assuming the attorney is going to read. Thank you.
Second.
Okay. The motion has been made by Councilmember Gehring, seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve ordinance number 026-2012, and at this time I'll have the city attorney read the official title.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. An ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, adopting interim zoning regulations pursuant to RCW 35A-63-220 and RCW 36-70A-390, adopting a new Chapter 1870 MMC entitled Marijuana-Related Uses, prohibiting medical cannabis collected gardens in all zoning districts of the city, permitting the production, processing, or retailing of marijuana as regulated pursuant to Washington State Initiative Number 502 in designated zoning districts, and only if facilities have obtained a valid license issued by the Washington State Liquor Control Board, repealing ordinance numbers 032-2011 and 012-2012, directing the city clerk to set a public hearing date, entering preliminary legislative findings, declaring an emergency, and establishing an immediate effective date.
Thank you, Attorney Lell. Any other questions or comments from council this evening? All right. Seeing no lights, hearing no comments, we'll vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. Well, this time is now set aside for council reports.
Been great, thank you. I had a great time at the Light Up Monroe celebration. It was a lot of fun right after Thanksgiving. A lot of fun people, fun music. Councilmember Kim's wife's group performed there. It was really great. And my kids had a great time. It's just a lot of fun for community aspect. And then the chamber did a fantastic job with the, there was a wine walk around. Got to walk into many of the stores around town. A chance to go through those stores and also enjoy some good food and beverage. So great time. Look forward to the next one. And I was really glad to be a part of it. Thank you.
Councilmember Pivot. I will at this time mention that Snohomish Health District has changed a little bit in the sense that City of Monroe is no longer the largest city, or no longer larger than Lake Stevens. And in the past, because of our population, we have had a single appointment to the Snohomish Health District. Lake Stephen has surpassed us in size, and so therefore we'll be sharing the responsibility of representation with the city of Snohomish. The Snohomish Health District has asked me to speak with Mayor Guzak and come up with some form of agreement. But with that, as before I contact Mayor Guzak, I guess the question would go out to Councilmember Cuddeback, since she is our current representative, if she would like to continue, or if there is another council member who would like to represent both City of Monroe and Snohomish on the Snohomish Health District Board.
Yeah, and I think it's Snohomish, Index, Gold Bar, Sultan, and us all share one rep. So it would be maybe contacting them and seeing if they have a rep, and you and the other mayors coming to an agreement. I probably will not have an interest in serving in it next year for 2013.
You're correct, Count Mayor Guzak.
She currently represents them.
Those,
yeah, we're in
the group. But I need to I'm going to reach out to her to see if she wants to, or if there's a council member who would like to take on that responsibility. So thank you for your input there. If indeed it does move in the direction of having a representative from Monroe represent these other cities, including Snohomish, Gold Bar Index, is there anybody on council who would be willing to take on that role before I speak with Mayor Guzak and other mayors? I could nominate somebody, but I don't want to see everybody looking away. Nobody's staring at me. I love that.
Next time.
Meetings are Tuesday night, or Tuesday, same nights as council, and then you're expected to sit on a committee, either program or admin, and those meetings are once a month also.
Tuesday.
I know that was a sales pitch.
Thank you. So Mayor Guzak does a great job.
She does do a great job.
We'll appreciate her representation.
Okay, well, I will reach out to her.
100%.
With that said, with Councilmember Cuddeback's decision here not to move forward next year, I just want to say thank you for your participation in representing the City of Monroe. And we'll now move forward in another direction. All right. Okay, anything else, Councilmember Cuddeback?
No.
Councilmember Williams?
That's not even after that.
Good.
Councilmember Tanner?
Just like to echo what Councilmember Guerin said about the Tree Life Festival. It was a lot of fun.
Councilmember Davis?
Yeah, I'll throw in my two cents on that. And I'd also like to say that my family appreciated the comments made by the mayor.
No.
Who looks at your head? Thought that was very appropriate.
Councilmember Guerin?
Yeah, I have one thing that we've talked quite a bit, I think it was last year we talked about the airport and some of the zoning stuff we looked there, and what having the ability to have flights that can come into this area, whether it be from an economic perspective, having it where you can charter a flight out of there. And the reason why I'm talking about that is I'm making a bridge, because if you've been following in the newspaper recently, there's been a lot of discussion and topic around it, and the Payne Field has been going on for years and years and years. And if I understand correctly, in 2002, there may have even been a voice, was a proclamation, Mr. Sachs?
I honestly can't remember what the council did back then. I asked, and I know they were in favor of, but I don't remember what the action, if any action was taken. So.
Anyway, where I'm going with this is I know we've talked about it as a council, what that does for economics and development. I look at what commercial flight would do in that at Payne Field, that location for the Sky Valley, especially as we're looking at an IPZ innovation partnership zone, and the investment that we have put behind that from the city, and what that would potentially mean for us, for folks to be able to fly right into the other Payne Field area. And with the most recent announcement that the FAA today signed off on commercial flights at Edwards Payne Fields. So I would love to socialize a discussion where we would potentially, as a council, reiterate our support that we did in 2002 and hence we could look at exactly what that was, but I would love to put something together that a proclamation of us supporting that, you know, that effort. I'm very much in, you know, in favor of that. I've asked the mayor and, you know, and Jeff into looking at that, and Jeff pulled off this something. There was a ordinance that was passed for the city of Marysville, I believe, and he looked into, you know, that to see if that was something as a template that we could use to offer our support as the city of Monroe and a member of Sky Valley, and what that would mean to us. So.
Could you yield for a comment on that?
Yep.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, absolutely. That we should do that. And I heard there was a Legion there.
Legion there.
Horizon had pulled out. Horizon had once had been there. Horizon's now Alaska. So I'm understanding that they're no longer single, but still, I mean, that's a... Actually, we just got airlines. Yeah.
In the announcement today,
Horizon,
when they spoke to the spokesperson, they basically that if the competitor was, because it was approved for two,
right?
If they approved for two, and then Horizon would revisit that because their competitor would be
Legion there. That's right, sure. Okay.
So there's a lot of study that's gone, you know, into this, and, you know, and there still is more to come, but I think it shows support because it's contingent upon a parking garage and a, you know, and a terminal. And there's still, I think, needs to go to some county, you know, environmental reviews and stuff like that. But I just think it would be a benefit to show our support.
Indeed, what it would do for us.
And I appreciate Councilmember Gamble's bringing that to the attention, and he recommended or suggested a proclamation. I recommended a resolution that the council could then vote on to rather than a mayoral proclamation. With council support or consensus from council, we'll continue to move forward on that and bring that back to council at a later date.
You for a question?
Yes.
You're talking about a proclamation in support of Payne Field moving forward.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just making it clear, because I think people are going to leave here thinking you want us to allow 747.
No. Not by any stretch of the imagination. No, I was just saying that it's in line.
Well, it'll be in the paper tomorrow.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. No, it's
Gamble.
In line.
Gamble wants,
yeah. No, so we've been reviewing the concept, right? You know, when we looked at our own airport and what that would do. And here, this is commercial activity. You know, this isn't chartered flights. This is, I would love.
Commercial? Yeah.
Yes, I would love to be able to go to Payne Field.
And get a Horizon flight somewhere.
Yeah,
that would be fantastic. We were just talking about last night. It's great.
Anyway. Very good. Well, thank you for that. We will bring something back to council here. Councilmember Hanford.
Unfortunately, my family was hit with the 24-hour hug the weekend on the tree lighting, so we were all excited to go, and that didn't happen. So. Yeah. Maybe next year.
Okay, our newest member and representative for the high school, or for the students of Monroe, Mr. Haran. And you don't have to stand every time if you don't want to. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'd just like to bring up a couple points to the council. My first thing that I'd like to say is that I would just like to happily inform the council that the beginning process of actually being able to get information from these city council meetings to the student body is in works. What I more and more looks like it's going to be is that at the high school we have a Bearcat News program, which is like our video program. It's like a monthly monthly news for the student body that classes watch. And so I think that's probably going to be our best option for me to actually give the information out from these meetings to the student body. Wanted to let you guys know that that's what we're beginning to do. As I'm talking to the video tech teacher and the teacher that's runs the program. So the second point that I'd like to bring up is that it's a project that the students at the high school had in mind and would really like to move forward with, and just kind of wanted to see what the council feels about it. If you guys, I'm sure all of you know that at the high school, our school colors are orange and black, and so when you go into the high school, a lot of the surrounding walls and the areas are actually painted red and blue, And so a hot topic with, you know, a hot topic every year for students is why are these poles red and blue? Why are the walls red and blue if our color is orange and black? And so one of the biggest things that I would like to get accomplished by the end of this year is to, you know, stop. Can we get these poles painted orange and black? I know that one of the biggest concerns is that the high school itself is a community building, and so community members might have a problem with it might be a little too flashy for it to be orange and black. But my argument to that is that, you know, high schoolers spend 99% of the time there. You know, how often do other city members, you know, come to the high school? If it's an issue of labor costs and you know, purchasing the paint, we can offset the labor costs through student volunteering. This could potentially become a really big or a really awesome senior project or senior activity. I think it would definitely bring students together, and I think it would be a lot of fun. And I'm sure a lot of students, I know that a lot of students are really interested in doing this and accomplishing this. In terms of the paint costs, I would, you know, hopefully if we can move forward with this, I would go to a couple of local businesses, or I'd go to, you know, stores like Lowe's, Home Depot, which is in Woodinville, to try and have or kind of bring this discussion up and see to get some donations. Anything helps. And so, yeah, what I am asking of the council is to just see if this is something that is you guys approve of, if it's something that seems reasonable or, you know, seems like a good thing. Obviously, the consent of the council would help us or me when I bring it to the school board. After bringing it to the school board, if they approve, then you know, we can really start get going on this. And so, yeah.
Well, I think it's a great idea. And if you hadn't already noticed, our hallway is orange, so we're at least part of it. We're almost there. And we'll hear from council from the staff's perspective. We are always looking for opportunities. I know Mike Lefton, our parks director, Mike Farrell, is constantly talking with both student groups, private groups, different organizations of all types on ways that we can partner to help either beautify the city or improve the city. And our school is certainly a large part of our community, and we can hear from council, and we can certainly put that as an agenda item. Councilmember Gearing, your light is on.
Yeah, I just want to say I think it's a great idea. I mean, obviously we don't have control, but if you're looking for, you know, hey, even the city council supports the idea, it sounds like that's what you're looking for. Yeah, I'm happy to sign on. I think it sounds fantastic, and all about the school colors. It's very cool. So. I mean, I'll let everybody else speak for themselves, but you certainly have could use my name and your support, so there you go.
And if the council would agree, maybe we could work with staff and Brandon to create a resolution to the school board. Councilmember King.
I mentioned as a possibility as a study session. Sure. Is that possible? Can we consider that as well?
Yeah. Okay. I think what we'll do is we'll have staff, a member of staff, most likely Mike Farrell, along with Brandon, propose a resolution. And a resolution can be, you know, three sentences, it can be, you know, 10 pages, but that would be something that, you know, council can approve, and then you, as a representative of the school body, can take the school board to present as a piece of or a support from the city. Councilor Hampton.
Yes, thank you. That's wonderful, Brandon. I'm definitely in support of the school colors and all that. The one One little concern or thing to think about when you're talking about going back to your first point, communicating to the students of Monroe High School via the news. The goal of this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but the goal of your position was to not only represent Monroe High School, but to represent the Monroe School District. And so in doing so, maybe you can just begin to think about ways that you can somehow communicate to the Skagit Valley Education Center, leaders in learning, all the different aspects and groups. And whether that's bringing your news thing on a DVD, you know, you're going to have to, that's your expertise, that's your area. But I'm just bringing that up because that was definitely a concern from some of us to make sure that gets communicated to the whole Monroe School District.
Actually, and I have to say I'm grateful for even the beginning here, because that was one of the conversation pieces that we had, was what Brandon's thoughts were in terms of communication. And so I think that this is the first step, but I'm pleased to hear that he already has initiated something.
That's awesome.
In 2 weeks, not even knowing up until last Thursday, I think I was able to call you, I think it was, or it might have been Tuesday.
Good start.
Yeah, so it's a great start. So appreciate that point as well. So. Anything else? All right, very good. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it. All right, moving on to staff reports. Mr. Sachs, come on. You've got something very exciting to say on the record here.
Yeah, theater property closed. Money's been transferred. So the most important item, the dairy blocks, they should be removed late this week, first of next week. As soon as the weather dries out, we've got bids. Beta is going to be installing speed bumps, so that's all good. And got a little postpartum depression right now. It was agonizing, and so glad to have it done. Diane's not here, but I did want to let you guys know that that $2 million has already been stuck in all the little pockets that you guys created through your fee registration. Or your reserve policies, I should say. And it's really putting the city in a really good spot. You guys are going to be making easier budget decisions, I think, moving forward in time based on those assets being in the bank. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. If I may, please allow me. Council has been very supportive over the last 3 years in a number of changes in direction that have been proposed either by myself or staff. Some have been questioned, some have been questionable. Some of them have been very difficult. All of them were for purpose or intention to help get us over or out of the hole that we're in and move us forward in both bringing new opportunity to Monroe and also getting us out of the real estate business. We're not completely there yet on the latter, but we have seen some very good momentum on the prior. One is, and Jeff could speak more to it, but we will let him because he's talked enough tonight. I spoke with the owners of Natural Factors. They are moving forward very aggressively on the transformation of the building site and continue to reiterate their goal to employ 300, as many as 300 people here in Monroe. Those were all, it's just one, as well as the sale of this property, one of the results, two of the results, two actions as a result of your support of some very different ways of looking at things. And so I just want to say thank you. As a result, money's in the bank, and that's a good thing. So, so thank you, Council. Ben, anything tonight?
No.
Fall, anything further? Chief, anything?
Yes. In last week, many of you are aware that we had one of our police chaplains had a triple bypass, and he's a person that we in the police department love very deeply. So we had a bake sale, and which was a killer for me because all the food was in the training room and I'm on a diet. But regardless, we raised over $800, and the command staff and I went over to visit them late last week and presented to him. So it's not your normal police business, but it was very important to us. So, to land.
Brad?
A couple things. What is, you know, we talked about the Monroe Cold Weather Shelter in the past, and it's all set up, and we are anticipating having to open this weekend, so it's supposed to be 28 degrees on Saturday. So that'll be something interesting to see how that works out. And the other one is not quite as much money as selling Galaxy Theater, but we did get a grant for $352,005 rework the driving service on Browns Boulevard, or part of Browns Boulevard. So we will be doing that in the next year or so. So that was very nice. We got that money for the transportation improvement work.
Yes, that's good.
All right. I have nothing other than it was a pleasure to be part of the tree lighting ceremony, and glad to have Brandon here tonight. City Administrator Brad.
Okay. Thank you. We've got an agenda for December 11th, 2012. On the consent agenda, we have ordinance amending 2012 budget, second and final reading. Final action. Number one, ordinance adopting 2013 budget, second and final reading. Number two, final action, 2013 legislative agenda.
Are we adding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be adding that item, yes.
Sounds great.
And then under study session topics, we have the resolution adopting 2013 fee schedule. We have department reports and the draft agenda for December 18th.
Yeah, it looks like I won't be able to attend on the evening, just for the record.
Seconded by Councilmember Hamford to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?